Sabbate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So with the blessings of all the present Vaishnavas, we will be reading from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 85, Lord Krishna instructs Vasudev, text number 40. Darshanam bamhi bhutanam. Darshanam bahi bhutanam. Duspraapam cha adurlabham. Duspraapam cha adurlabham. Rajastamas babavanam. Rajastamasvabhavanam. Yana praptau yadrichaya. Darshanam bam hibutanam. Dushprapam chapya durlabam. Rajastamasvabhavanam. Yanna prapto yadrichaya. Darshanam, the vision, bam, of you too, he, indeed, bhutanam, for living beings in general, duspraapam, rarely achieved, cha api, yet still, adurlabam, not difficult to obtain, Rajaha, in passion, tamaha, and ignorance, svabhavanam, for those whose natures, yat, in that, naha, by us, prapto, obtained, yadrichaya, causelessly. Translation purported by his by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Seeing your Lords is a rare achievement for most living beings, but even persons like us, situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, can easily see you when you reveal yourself by your own sweet will. Purported by ascribing to himself the degraded status of a demoniac birth, Bali Maharaj denied any spiritual qualification for being visited by Krishna and Balaram. What to speak of demons like himself, Bali thought even advanced renunciates on the path of jnana and yoga fail to please the Lord when they do not give up their pride and envy. End of the purport. Darshanam bahi bhutanam duspraapam chapyadbhut adurlabham rajastama svabhavanam yana Praptau Yadrichaya, seeing your lords is a rare achievement for most living beings, but even persons like us, situated in the modes of passion and ignorance, can easily see you when you reveal yourself by your own sweet will. Hare Krishna. So as we know, these are the words of Bali Maharaj, who is very happy to receive Krishna and Balaram, who came to Sutala Loka with a special mission of recovering the dead sons of Devaki, who requested Krishna and Balaram to do so. And today we have very special Ekadashi because we are fasting for Vamana Dvadashi, and tomorrow we'll be hearing about the glories of Vamana Dev. But this pastime is also connected to Vamana Dev pastime because it's happening on Sutala Loka, and as we know, Vamana Dev is guarding the gates of Sutala Loka. It's not actually described as such, whether Vamana Dev was opening the gates for Krishna and Balaram. Would be, you know, interesting to see how, you know, the Lord interacts with himself. There are descriptions like that anyway in Bhagavatam. For example, how Krishna and Arjuna meeting Mahavishnu, etc. But in here specifically, the words of Bali Maharaj are very impressive because he says, Rajatama Svabhavanam. He says, I'm influenced by the lower modes of nature such as Rajas and Tamas, and still, Darshanam Bahi Bhutanam, that I see you. And this is your causeless mercy. And of course we know that Bali Maharaj is not just great devotee. He is one of the 12 greatest authorities in devotional service on universal scale. How that verse goes, that there are 12 authorities in the universe, and they are called Mahajans, and so Bali Maharaj is one of them. Was that Yata Shambhu? Svayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilomanu Balir Vayasaki. Narada Janaka Bhishmo Balir Vayasaki Vayam. So, and this is very impressive how such a great personality speaks about himself as someone who is very low and unqualified. And this is really amazing because pride is very difficult to overcome. And only those people who are really bereft of anything materially and who are humbled, they feel humble. But those people who achieved something, normally they feel very proud, whether it is material or spiritual. But when people achieved a lot and they are still very humble, that's really amazing. And I can tell you this is the primary reason why I come to Chaupati, because it's amazing to see so many devotees who achieved materially everything, pretty much. You know, that Kunti speaks about four primary obstacles on the path of fully surrendering to the Lord: Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribi Etamada Manahapuman, because these four things, they really intoxicate people. But when I come here, I see so many devotees with amazing janma, coming from very special families, materially very affluent, and in many cases Brahmana and Vaishnava families as well, Aishwarya, Bombay, of course, is the wealthiest city in India, and so the devotees coming from wealthy families, and some are very wealthy, like multimillionaires. And Shruta, the kind of classes I hear from Chaupati devotees, I would never even try to compete with them. Actually, I listened to one class by Gaurgopal Prabhu, and he was talking about Nrsingadev. And because my spiritual master, Shailendra Dyumna Swami, he likes Nrsingadev so much, so I suggested that he listens to the class. He was really amazed by the depth of the presentation and so many new things. Even he didn't know about Nrsingadev, Gaurgopal Prabhu, mentioning in his class. And Sri, you know, if people have such a good karma, of course, they become very attractive. And so, normally, if people have all these things, it's pretty hard for them to surrender to the Supreme Lord. But Chaupati Temple has, if not the biggest, at least one of the biggest brahmachari ashrams in the whole India. And so we can see so many devotees with excellent karma fully surrendering themselves to the Supreme Lord, and this is really wonderful. This is real miracle. This is not really happening, and that devotees who have such a high position, they behave themselves in such a simple and very humble way in devotional service. So it's a great pleasure to be here. And this is why it's so impressive to hear Bali Maharaj speak about himself in such terms that he says, oh, I'm influenced by the lower modes of nature, even though he is completely pure devotee. And this is very interesting characteristic, which is common for all the great devotees. We know that great devotees, they always describe themselves in very, we can say, derogatory terms. And we may wonder how this is happening, that they are so pure, so how do they see so many faults in themselves? Other people don't see these faults, but they discover these faults in themselves. And actually it's very simple, because great devotees, they always focused on the spiritual realm. Om Tat Vishno Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya. So they think about the Supreme Lord and his immediate associates. And so they compare their position with those devotees. And so, comparing to Krishna's coward friends, comparing to gopis, anyone can feel humble and insignificant. But materialistic people, they actually always focused on material world, and so they always compare themselves with someone who is lower than them, and that's why they feel very proud. But great devotees always compare their position with someone who is much higher than them, and so in comparison they feel very humble. And nevertheless, what Bali Maharaj describes here is very relevant. He says that no matter what position one holds, whether materially or spiritually, it's very difficult to see the Supreme Lord. And he can be seen only if he reveals himself. And this is what Katha Upanishad also explains in the very famous verse, Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhyo Namethayana Bhavana Shrutena. This is what we do here, right? It's called Pravachan. Vachan means speaking, and pra is Prakrishna Rupena. So discussing spiritual topics in depth, no matter how long you discuss, still it doesn't qualify us to see the Supreme Lord, right? Labhya. That achievement is not available. Na methaya, and no matter how smart one is, even sharp intelligence doesn't qualify one to see the Supreme Lord. Na bahuna shrutena, even by non-stop listening about the Supreme Lord, still, even that doesn't qualify one to see the Supreme Lord. And so what does qualify then? If hearing and chanting and sharp intelligence do not qualify one to see the Lord, then actually the only thing which qualifies one is His causeless mercy. That it says that the Lord reveals Himself to the one whom He chooses to reveal Himself. And so, Yam evaisha vrinuttitana labhya tasyaiva tasyaisha atma vivrinuttitanam svam. And so we can understand that we can endeavor spiritually as much as we want, but without receiving the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, we can't really get His mercy, get His darshan, or get His service, or get an inspiration. And so it's very interesting phenomena, and rather than speaking about it theoretically, I wanted to share something which my spiritual master wrote recently on his page, and it's pretty much self-explanatory, and I just wanted to share this because this description touched even my heart, even though I have very special heart. You know, some people have stone hearts, and other people have hearts which are steel framed, and I have both. You know, stone heart and steel framed. And I thought, if it touched even my heart, definitely it will be of an interest for all of you. So he says, "Dear devotees, there are certain priceless treasures that I keep close to my heart as I travel and preach around the world. Things that give me great inspiration, like the holy names, my beloved deities, instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave me, and certain special items like a bead from Srila Jiva Goswami's Japa Mala and a small piece of cloth from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I also carry the following 1994 Vyasa Puja offering of Shivaram Swami everywhere I go." So it's more than 20 years. "I must have read it hundreds of times, and each time I read it, I cry. For me, it reveals the essence of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and the heart of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Some of you may have read it and others not. In either case, it's a masterpiece and can be read again and again. Your servant, Indradyumna Swami." Incidentally, anyone read that? Okay. Few devotees. Anyway, most of you haven't, so. So it says, "Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your divine lotus feet. All glories to you on the celebration of your appearance day. While planning a composition for your offering, I was also attending to my regular correspondence. One letter stood out among the others. I enclose it here, translated into English, for your pleasure." Apparently, the letter was in Hungarian language originally. "Dear Shivaram Swami, Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances of Goris to Srila Prabhupada. I hope you do not mind my writing to you. I have never written to a spiritual master before. You don't know me. My name is Bakhtin Dora, and I live in Pécs, Hungary. I am 14 years old, and I live at home with my mother and older sister. In 1992, I went to the Hare Krishna festival with a friend. I was not very interested, but I enjoyed the chanting and dancing at the end. After it was over, I bought a book, The Science of Self-Realization. I don't know why. Generally, I never read. I think it was because of the chanting. I took the book home and cannot remember what happened to it. One day my mother found it and was very angry with me. She thought that I was reading the kind of thing. You see, our family members are all very strict Catholics. They thought Krishna consciousness was some kind of brainwashing. Actually, I wasn't reading the book. I had forgotten all about it. Somehow I just appeared. Anyway, my mother was going to throw it away. My grandmother, who is 68, was in the kitchen at that time. She lives in the apartment upstairs. She came in and took the book. She looked at it and scolded me in a very heavy way. I thought that would be the end of it. I didn't mind it so much as I was in a lot of Maya at the time. About a week later, I overheard a conversation between my mother and grandmother. Granny was saying that this was not an ordinary book. She said that what Srila Prabhupada was saying is what Jesus Christ said, and that Krishna is God. I was very surprised. She said that we should listen to what Prabhupada said and chant Hare Krishna, because that was the religion for this age. There was a lot of talk about how Christianity was no more and no one was following the Bible, but what Prabhupada said was pure and perfect. Things really took a turn from there. One day my grandmother visited the Namahasta Center here and began to chant on beads. She also began to buy Prabhupada's books one by one. She was spending all her pension on buying what she called the beautiful holy Bhagavatam. Sometimes she could only afford to eat potatoes, but she kept buying the books. The devotees even came to her flat and helped her set up an altar. When I went upstairs, they had taken all the pictures down and there were Krishna pictures everywhere. That was really the beginning. One night, Granny had a dream about Prabhupada. Something really happened to her then. I don't know what it was, but she began to get very enthusiastic. Next, she began to get the whole family involved. I mean, not just me and my mother and sister, but her two sons, their wives and six children, as well as her brothers, sisters and relatives. Before, she used to carry a Bible with her and quote Jesus Christ. Now she has a Bhagavad Gita and quoted the good Lord Prabhupada. She became a veritable transcendental terror. Everyone in the family has to chant at least one round a day. In addition, Granny made everyone become a vegetarian, including my dog Sirka. And we offer our food to a picture of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. Now I'm also getting out of Maya and chanting and reading a little more. Where I go to school, my friends inquire about Krishna and they know I'm a devotee. The whole family goes to the Namahata, all 16 of us. During the Christmas marathon, we all tried to distribute Prabhupada's books. Even Granny would take books with her to the market and sell them to the vendors. Everyone is afraid of her because she is fearless. They all think she has gone crazy, but she doesn't care. Now she is saving to go to Budapest to see the newly installed deities. She has heard that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to Hungary and are being worshipped there by the devotees. She says she wants to see God just once in this life. At this year's Hare Krishna festival, you were speaking to the guests after the kirtan. You must remember my grandmother because she came and sat right beside you and asked so many questions. At the end, where you stood to leave, when you stood to leave, she even kissed your hand, remember? I also wanted to ask a question, but I was shy. Could I please ask you now? I hope you do not mind, Maharaj. I want to know what kind of man Srila Prabhupada was. He must be so dear to Krishna, who have spread this message all over the world. What are these books that changed my family so much? How it is possible that he can speak so powerfully through them? You must feel very fortunate to be his disciple. How great a man he is. Sometimes when my granny chants in front of a picture of Krishna, she cries. How does Prabhupada do that? I want to cry like that too. Granny dreams of Prabhupada as sometimes she talks to his picture. Although it says on the cover of the book that he passed away, is Prabhupada really dead or is he still alive? Do you think I can meet him someday? I'm sorry that I have gone on so. I would like to be a good devotee one day and help you and Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness. Please, could you answer my questions? Your servant, Bhaktin Dora. And so then, this is Shivaram Swami continues. Srila Prabhupada, what is this brand of mercy that you gave this old lady? I just barely met that you never gave to me. She never met you, never saw devotees, she is not even initiated by you. What is this kindness that you bestow upon her that you do not give me, in quoted, your fortunate disciple? What I am referring to, it is just this. After having come in contact with you for just a few months, what inspiration did you give this granny in that dream? What did you move in her heart that made her change her life in its final days, that made her turn against the current of banality and tradition and strike out alone to change her world? No sympathy, no association, no institutional support. Boldness, I do not possess. Change, I do not have the strength to make. Srila Prabhupada, I want to know what is that you say to her from your picture. When she talks to you, I have so many pictures, you do not speak to me through them. Although I worship deities daily, I continue to see them as made of marble and wood. How is it this old lady has the conviction that God has come to her country? Why have you not given such vision to me? Where did she get the conviction that a pilgrimage to the city capital would yield the final goal of her life? One last thing, Srila Prabhupada, how is it that when Dora's granny chants in front of a picture, she cries? How do you do it? I want to cry like that too. When will you give me that mercy? Srila Prabhupada, this is one letter from one girl who came in contact with you. How many millions of such souls are there who have yet to write, who are directly experiencing your mercy daily, who read your books with implicit faith, whom you talk to in dreams and pictures, whose lives you change abruptly and reward with tears when chanting the holy names? How many people cross the boundaries of rules and regulations by the strong boat of your mercy and practice and taste Krishna consciousness in a realm beyond logic and argument? I think these people are meeting you every day. How will I acquire their good fortune? When will you one day bestow some of this special mercy upon me that you give to them? I am not to acquire it directly, even after begging for it. Then I will serve such souls who have reached your mission. I will offer them prasadam, give them your books, and show them how to practice. I will chant with them Thus, I can hope to gain a new perspective of your greatness, even though I may never fully understand it. Your insignificant servant, Shivaram Swami. Hare Krishna. So, apparently this is one example how the Lord reveals himself in completely unexpected ways. And really this is what this whole movement is based on. It's based on causeless mercy. As Srila Prabhupada was saying that he was telling Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I have my plans, you have your plans, and Krishna has his plans. And what's the difference between our plans and Krishna's plan? It's very simple, that our plans will fail and Krishna's plan will succeed. And this is very amazing, and this is what gives us faith in the process, because in a very similar way as Krishna and Balaram went to Sutala Loka, which is actually a lower planet, it's kind of hellish planet, but nevertheless it's very opulent, right? It reminds of heaven, but it's one of the hellish planets. Very interesting. And so they went there to reclaim the dead sons of Devaki. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada went to the hellish place, America, which at least some parts of it resemble heaven. So it's called also kind of Sutala Loka type place, especially places like Hawaii, California, etc. And why did he go there? Just to reclaim dead people, to bring dead people back to life. And so, I'm sure you may not be in that category, but I was dead spiritually before I came across Srila Prabhupada's books and the holy names, and if that wouldn't happen, probably I would be dead by now materially also, a long time back. And so it's all causeless mercy of the Lord, who is coming along with his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and just fulfills all his desires. And so we can understand that we can only get that causeless mercy of the Lord when we get causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And so this is what we are aiming at, and this is what we're hoping for, serving Srila Prabhupada, all of us, juniors, seniors, spiritual masters, disciples, counselors, counselees, brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, sannyasis, young and old. And it's very inspiring to see this causeless mercy attaching lives of so many people in very unexpected ways, in many unexpected ways. Like yesterday we were talking with Navina Nirada Prabhu, and he was sharing his first experience of going to Israel. And I also remembered a few things from my trip to Israel, which is of course a very religious country. And so most of the people do practice their religion very seriously. Of course, mostly Judaism. And some time back when I went there, devotees told me that they are invited to visit one group of Jews, practicing Jews, in Jerusalem, which is the capital of the country. and which is of course very holy place for three world religions, Judaism, Christianity and Islam, because so many holy sites are there in Jerusalem. And they told me that this group of people, they came, they found out about the devotees in Tel Aviv, and they visited the center a few times, and they really liked the devotees, and they invited us to come and visit them. And so they told me, if you like, you could come with us. And I said, okay, so shall we like, you know, because I'm in my own headspace, so I was asking, shall we bring like instruments to do kirtan? And they were saying, this is like the first time we go to them, we don't even know them, so how can we bring instruments, you know, we cannot impose ourselves, this is the first contact. I said, okay. And everyone went in civil clothing, I was the only one dressed in saffron. And somehow, I had karatals in my bag, just by chance. And so, upon arrival, we were, you know, met by the leader of the group, and he was showing us the parking, and then he told us, before we go into the house, we want you to go to one park in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is situated on hills, there are plenty of hills. And so he said, this park is very high on the hill, and so he said, I want you to chant in that park, because from that hill, the chanting will be spread all over the city, and so the whole city will be blessed by your chanting. I was very surprised. The first thing he says, you know, like... And then they went along with us. Maybe there were like five or six of them. And I pulled out my kartal, started chanting. Devotees were chanting with me. And most of them, they didn't know the words of Maha Mantra. I could see that because they were not chanting. But after a minute or two, they memorized the words and they started chanting along with us. And so after we did that kirtan for a while, he said, there is another park on the other side. We have to go there and chant there to bless the other part of the city. So we went, we did that. And then finally they invited us to his house. And they invited us to their house. And we've chanted there also to bless the house. And then I was very surprised. Actually, their leader, whom I was talking to, he was really a humble man. You know, like he was really resistant to say anything about himself. But just from other members of the group, I found out that he is actually professor of Judaism in Jerusalem University. And his followers are either his students or relatives of the students. And they live together in a huge house. And all of them are bachelors, which is complete nonsense for Judaism. In Judaism, you know, monastic life is not accepted. Everybody in Judaism has to be married. But they just live like bachelors. And plus, all of them are vegetarians, because they believe that all the Jews have to be vegetarians. There are people amongst Jews like that. And they do high-profile business. Very wealthy people. And plus, they're so well-educated, it's mind-blowing. I mean, they received us in their living room, and it's just filled with books from, like, floor to the ceiling, in all different languages. And mostly these are like scriptures from all traditions. And on average, I think each of them speaks six languages. I think that professor speaks more than 10 languages. So I think the least educated speaks four languages fluently. Reads, writes, everything. And for fun, as a hobby, they learn Sanskrit also. They started learning Sanskrit after they came across us. And they've read all Prabhupada's books from cover to cover, I found out. And then they said, you know, we prepared a lunch according to Kurma's cookbook. We followed all his recipes. But because we are not devotees, we didn't offer this food to Krishna. The book says that only devotees can offer the food to Krishna. So if you could please offer it, you know, it's cooked according to all the standards. You know, no one tested the preparations. You know, all the pots are new, like that. So it is offerable. If you could please offer it, then we can have a meal. And of course, one devotee went and did the offering. I was very impressed by how serious these people are. And because I'm kind of doing involved in interfaith dialogue and trying to encourage other groups who are friendly to us to work with us together on common projects. And I was thinking, this is the perfect group to work with. And so I was encouraging them, you know, let's do something together. And that professor kept telling me, we're not interested in anything else but in your success as Hare Krishnas. And I said, what do you mean? And he told me, and they gave very generous donation at the end also. And he told me, we're doing this high profile business, we're making a lot of money. And, you know, because we're bachelors, we don't really spend it. We don't spend much. And so we make all this money and we want to donate this money for your cause. We want first temple built in Tel Aviv, and we want annual Ratha Yatra in Jerusalem. And I was shocked. I was asking, you know, you are Jewish people, you are Jews, you're not Hare Krishna, so why do you have so much interest in us, and why do you want us to succeed? And he told me a really amazing thing. He said, you know, we are here in Jerusalem all the time, and so we know personally every single influential spiritual leader on the planet, because they all come to Jerusalem. So we know them personally, we've spoken to them at length, we know where they at, and we also read all the major scriptures in all languages, so we studied all religious traditions. And after all this study, including Prabhupada's books, and after all this study, we came to one conclusion, that the only solution for this country, and of course everybody knows Israel's position is very precarious, right? They are in a state of constant war. And so he said the only solution, the only hope for this war-torn country is Hare Krishna movement. And so that's why we want you to succeed. And so, you know, this is just one episode from my experiences, and devotees have so many different episodes like that, which prove that, you know, very interesting point. Bhadrinarayan Maharaj mentions that experience that Srila Prabhupada came one time to the temple, and you know, normally before the arrival of Srila Prabhupada, devotees were like renovating things and you know, doing a lot of work to make it all nice for Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always complaining that every time I come to the temple, there is a smell of fresh paint. Because devotees would just paint the whole temple for Prabhupada. And so all the devotees worked so hard to make sure that everything is, you know, is nice. And then, of course, they were so exhausted. And when Prabhupada was giving class, and I think it was Chaitanya Charitamrita class, and he was reading from the book and he had his spectacles on his on the tip of his nose, and was reading, you know, this movement is spreading exclusively by the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he looked over the devotees, and every single devotee in the audience was fast asleep because they were so exhausted, right? And Badrinarayan Maharaj, he was the only one awake because he was cooking at the kitchen, and he just came at that moment just to hear at least a bit of the class. And he saw that, and Prabhupada looked, and he was like really surprised. Everyone is asleep. And he said, is it not, and this is a fact. Like that. So, yeah, it is true that Vaishnava sleep and service is going on, primarily morning service. But yes, that if we look at this movement, it's spreading far and wide. And my latest realization, to be honest, that it's spreading far and wide not because of people like me, maybe because of people like you, not, but definitely not because of people like me, but despite of people like me. You know, against all odds, because it's the plan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's empowering and encouraging so many people. And this is really amazing that we have so much of the causeless mercy of the Lord. In the same way as Bali Maharaj says, it's your causeless mercy that you appeared here in this hellish, on this hellish planet. Because normally this is not where the Lord wants to go. Hare Krishna. So we'll stop here. I doubt anyone has any questions because you all know much more than I can think of. But if anyone has any comments, you're welcome to share. We still have 5 minutes, right? Or shall we stop earlier and have early breakfast for everyone? Alright, thank you all very much. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande.